Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And today we continue in this great study series through the book of Ephesians, and we're delighted that you're with us today. It's session 8, and if you need to catch up or review any of the sessions, you can do that anytime at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, every session is added to the archive every week, and they're all there for you anytime. We hope that you'll share them with your family and tell your friends about this life-changing Ephesians series. And again, it's at basicgospel.net/teaching. But right now, let's get started with today's Session 8. And here to do that is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We move into Chapter 4 today, and we're going to cover the first half of Chapter 4. And really, this is a message to the church, to the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And it comes on the tail of the prayer, the great prayer in Ephesians 3:14-21, where Paul is stepping back and saying, you know, I pray that you'll be strengthened with power in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that you can know the height and depth and length and breadth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. So this body of Christ, this body life that we experience is supernatural. It's led by the Spirit of God. It's empowered by the Spirit of God. It's fueled by the grace of God. And so now in this next section, we're going to see how that really spells itself out. Paul gives a sketch of what this body life is supposed to look like. And so he's going to appeal to each person individually to take up their role in the body so that we can all grow together in unity, so that we can reach the full stature of what God has called us to, the fullness of Christ Jesus. So that's the sketch. And that's what Paul has envisioned for the body under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, it takes the supernatural power of God's Spirit to bring this about. It's right. Not something that we can do through human effort. It's not something that we can generate through committees and group meetings and strategies and tactics and all of that. It's all of us individually depending upon God's Spirit to move us, and then us having the courage to live that out in day-to-day life. So let's dive in. Chapter 4, Ephesians, starting in verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord. So Paul is writing this letter from a prison. Maybe it was in Rome, maybe it was in Ephesus. There is certainly debate on where this imprisonment took place. Mm-hmm. But he is writing from prison. And this letter of Ephesians, in the earliest manuscripts, it doesn't say that it was to the saints at Ephesus. So we think more likely it's a circular letter. It's to go from city to city to city and probably back to Ephesus as the origination point. So this is a broad appeal to the body of Christ at large. So he's writing from prison, and he says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Now, this just makes sense, doesn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it does. How else can we do anything except to walk in the way we've been called? We can't invent a new calling.
Yes.
We can't screw up enough courage or fortitude or our own strength to make any of this possible. So you think, how was I called? Well, I was called by grace.
Yes.
How do I walk in a manner worthy? Well, it must be by grace.
Yes.
And so he's just emphasizing for practical purposes exactly what he's been talking about in the first three chapters.
Right. And that grace is what broke down the walls of hostility, mm-hmm. Tore down that wall of the law. Those commandments, those regulations, it killed the hostility in our heart, and now it empowers us to love one another.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter the background, the ethnicity, the heritage, any of those things, the supernatural love of God supersedes all of that.
Yes.
And puts us on a completely different, higher plane of living. So that's the manner, that's the calling to which we have been called. And so that's marked by some attitudes. And so we see these attitudes, humility. God gives grace to the humble. So we all have to recognize our need for a Savior. Apart from that, we're not going to receive the Savior. So humility is kind of that entry attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's where it all begins for us.
Yes, and it's not one of these things where you throw yourself on the ground and roll in the dirt and hope somebody runs over you with a truck. That's not humility. This is a recognition of who you were apart from Christ and who you are in Christ now, and a fundamental being good with that.
Yes.
Yes, I am a child of God, and I could never be anything other than a child of God.
So it starts with humility, gentleness. We need to be gentle with one another. Again, this is not something that we can just say, hey, I'm gonna, you know, make it my goal to be more gentle with people. You can do that, and it lasts for a little bit, but it's not sustaining. Mm-hmm. What sustains it is the grace of God. So the grace of God is going to produce a gentleness in us. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, with patience, bearing with one another in love. And this patience, I think, is a direct result of humility, understanding one another. You know, we all have issues. We all have trials and tribulations that we're going through. And so if we recognize that in one another, it gives us a sense of understanding. And with that understanding comes this patience. And again, this is all fueled by the grace of God. So with that patience, we're able to bear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, this is a very important passage for us. Most of us would think, hey, we need to become unified. We see this in the political spectrum. You know, we have these two parties, and they're, you know, at opposite ends of the spectrum. And then when one party is elected, you know, the messaging at that point is like, we need to become unified.
No.
And so we're working to make that happen, to bring about a unification. But in the body, we're already unified.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus has unified us as one. We have become one in Him. So it's not our role to become unified. He's simply saying, maintain the unity. Recognize the truth that we are a body and that we're all connected one to another by the grace of God, by the very life of Jesus Christ, and we're all connected to the head, Jesus Christ Himself. So unity is there. Every believer in Jesus Christ is in unity one with another. That's the reality. That's the truth. Now, walking in a manner worthy of the calling is simply maintaining that, recognizing it to be so, and then maintaining it. How do we do it? Maintain the unity of the Spirit. So this body life is the Spirit-controlled life.
Yes.
It's the Spirit-empowered life. It's the grace-filled life. So we recognize that it's the Spirit that has brought us together as one. And so as we continue to be empowered by the Spirit, we're going to maintain that in the bond of peace. No divisions, no separations, none of that. We're just together as one, experiencing peace through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so in this next verse, in verse 4, he says, here's the reality. There is one body. There's not two bodies. There are some people out there that say there's a Gentile body and a Jewish body. Well, that's not what Paul said.
Not at all.
He said there's just one body, and there's one Spirit. The Spirit of God has brought us together. There is, just as you were called to the one hope, we all have this one hope of being with Christ forever. That's our hope. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So it's God that has brought this plan together. Jesus Christ executed the work necessary to make it happen, and the Spirit is holding us together as one. So we are unified as believers in Christ.
Indeed we are. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. And if you've just joined us, this is the regular Friday study series. The book of Ephesians is what we're going through at this particular time. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And a reminder that in addition to our Friday study series, we have many resources to help your understanding of the Word of God and to aid your daily walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Among them, Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which points us to a full and abundant life of grace in Jesus Christ. That's Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and you can order your copy anytime at basicgospel.net. But today it's Session 8 in our study of Ephesians, so Bob and Richard, let's get right back to it.
Well, so we're at verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7, and he gets back to kind of the subject of the whole book, the grace of God. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talked about in the opening session of our book study through Ephesians, Paul met with the Ephesian elders before he was headed to Jerusalem, and he said, I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to complete the task that God has given me, and the task is testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So Paul has testifying to that gospel of grace here in the book of Ephesians, and he brings us back to that point here in verse 7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so it's grace at the heart of all that Paul is talking about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's not, he's not saying, well, some of you got a little bit of grace, and some of you got a little bit more, and some of you got even more than that. No, this is the measure of Christ's gift.
Yes.
If we receive grace, we have received Christ himself in the form of the Spirit. That's the whole package.
Right.
We have received everything. I mean, this is one of those overwhelming statements.
Yes.
I mean, grace is given to each one of us according to how much Jesus has to give.
Yes.
Not according to what we deserve or, you know, what he thinks we can handle. He gives us everything.
And it's that grace that empowers us and enables us to live in unity and to grow together in the fullness of Christ. So grace is the heart of this, and Spirit is at the heart of this, God's Spirit. So therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. This is a quote from Psalm 68. And Paul is investing it with new meaning as far as everything coming true in Christ. And so he's saying that Christ, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended in the lower parts of the earth. And he who descended is the one who has also ascended far above all the heavens that he may fill all things. So Christ became one of us. Mm-hmm. So he came from his glory in heaven. He entered into a body that God had prepared for him. He suffered and became that perfect Lamb of God and became obedient even to death. And then through death, he was buried and raised to life. And then he ascended back to his post of glory. And that's kind of what he's referring to here. Now, there's a lot of other crazy speculations about what this exactly means. But I think we should just look at it and say, Christ has done his work. And when he ascended, he gave the Spirit. And in giving the Spirit, he has gifted the body of Christ with certain gifts. And these gifts aren't like the gift of prophecy or the gift of encouragement or the gift of giving or any of those things that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. These are actual people gifts to the body. And he names them. He says he gave the apostles. So that was a group of people way back then, mm-hmm, that received the revelation from Christ himself concerning this mystery. And they have given to us this revelation in the Word of God, in these letters that we're reading today. So that revelation has been given. So the apostles, they've done their work. They were a gift from God to the body of Christ. He's given prophets. Now, those are folks who take this revelation and apply it to our times and our situations.
Mm-hmm. In an attempt to get us to keep our focus on Jesus.
On Jesus, absolutely. The word of the prophets back in the Old Testament was always to call the people back mm-hmm. to the one true God. So it's the same role today, but they're calling us back to keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ, not looking at the culture, not getting embedded into the culture and allowing the culture to shape our way of life, but getting our eyes back on Jesus and allowing him to reveal to us this great calling to which we've been called so that we can live out who yes. we are as believers in Christ. So he's given evangelists and he's given pastor teachers. These are all gifts to the body. Now, they serve a special role, and this is their role. They were given to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So oftentimes we look at the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teachers. They're the hired guns. Yeah. They're the people that carry out the work of ministry.
Yeah, it's their job.
It's their job. We pay them to do that. That's why they take a collection. That's so those yeah. guys can get out there on the front lines. But actually, those guys are supposed to be, you know, in the rear, equipping the saints. Mm-hmm. So the saints can go out on yes. the front line, can be that salt and light out there in the world. So they have a very important job to equip the saints. But the saints have a very important job as well, and that's the ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of this new covenant, of proclaiming Jesus, of lifting up Jesus, and sharing his life with others. Now, what does that do when the saints have been equipped? It helps to build up the body of Christ. You know, God doesn't want us to remain as children. God doesn't want us to remain as infants. He wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to mature as believers. Now, we don't add things to what we already have in Christ. We begin to understand what we already have in Christ, and we begin to live that out. That's what maturity is all about. So this is for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So what's God's desire for the body? To grow up into the fullness of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And we do that as we are equipped for our work of ministry, and we build up the body of Christ together.
Indeed we do. And it's Basic Gospel, friends. We're glad you're with us for study session 8 of our Friday series through the book of Ephesians. As I mentioned earlier, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can visit the teaching archive at basicgospel.net/teaching, where you can catch up anytime. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Also, friends, want to remind you once again that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Your gifts help us continue on the air every weekday and produce excellent series like you're hearing each Friday in this Ephesians series. So please help us continue with your gift this month. Just visit basicgospel.net to make your gift. And again, this is our Friday study series through the book of Ephesians on Basic Gospel. And here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. So let's continue. We just got a couple of more verses to complete this particular section. So God's purpose for the body is to grow up to mature manhood in the knowledge of the Son of God so that we experience the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So Paul talks about this in Galatians. He labored until Christ was fully formed in them. And this is kind of a retelling of
yes.
that. It's his way of expanding on that particular passage in the book of Galatians. So he wants maturity. That's the end goal. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. So if we're going to maintain the unity, if we're going to grow up into the full stature of Christ, we're going to do that in the midst of all kinds of human cunning, all kinds of deceitful schemes, and all kinds of crazy doctrines. That's just the world that we live in. So there's warning after warning after warning in the New Testament about false teachers, false prophets, bringing in false messages. They're delivering to us the fake news.
Yeah.
But there's the real news, and that real news is about Jesus. And we need to be firmly established and rooted in him. And when we are, then we can grow up to the full measure of him. So or new believers, they're all excited. They're all happy about this new life in Christ. And they're eager to learn. And they're vulnerable to some of these human cunnings and deceitful schemes. And soon they get tossed to and fro by these crazy waves. And so God wants to anchor them. And part of the body of Christ, all of us being equipped for our work of ministry, is to help anchor people, anchor believers in this new life in Christ Jesus.
And you can't anchor them in Jesus Christ if the first thing that happens after they say, I believe, is that you assign them some neighborhood to go door to door or put them to work with the children's ministry or whatever.
Yeah, it's not
it takes time.
It's not about giving them a job. It's about equipping them to enjoy this new life that they have in Christ. And once they recognize that it's all through dependence upon him, Christ is just going to be set loose and do all kinds of things in and through them. We don't have to worry
about that.
So rather, speaking the truth in love. So where does this all begin? Well, it started with grace coming to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, but that was anchored in truth.
Yes.
The story of Jesus is the truth. It's the true message concerning God the Father. It's the true message concerning his great love for us. It's his true message concerning his will for each and every one of us. So it starts with truth. You can't have a relationship. You can't build a family. You can't build a marriage. You can't build a church. You can't build a body on lies. You can't build anything other than on the truth of Jesus Christ. So we speak the truth of love, and with that we're to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So as we learn to speak the truth in love, that we're all connected one to another, that we are connected to the head, that he's the one that holds us all together, then what happens? We're building ourselves up in love.
Yes.
So it's faith in Christ manifesting itself in love one for another. That's the fullness of Christ. That's the full measure. That's when we have reached maturity, when love is truly the mark of this life that we've been called to.
What a great study, guys. Thank you, Bob and Richard, for bringing this to us and putting in the time to put everything together. It's a wonderful study through Ephesians. And friends, thank you for being with us today for this study session. We hope you'll be with us every Friday of this series. But if you miss, as I said earlier, if you miss any of the sessions along the way, you can access them anytime in the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. Again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. And a quick reminder that as you click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other means of making your gift, you're helping to make Basic Gospel possible on the air and online every day to proclaim this truth of God's love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. To help, just click donate at basicgospel.net or use any of the other messages or methods to make your gift. You can use PayPal, you can use the Basic Gospel app, or you can send a check to us at our street address. That would be 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310. That's in Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, again, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back on Monday. In the meantime, if a question comes up over the weekend, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. You can use that, as I said, anytime. Well, we'll see you on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. Hope you'll be here, and have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.